Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, everybody. We want to welcome you to this week's edition of Here's to Your Health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Ron Epley.
And with you, as usual, is your other co-host, Dr. Shane Goodwood. So remember, this is a call-in show. So we want to encourage everybody to give us a call. And that number is 347-989-8722. So let's make sure people give us a call.
Try to get money here. You're a little busy today.
Just your brain is busy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a lot of stuff going on. It's crazy. I got to change my clinic around. Got to remodel some stuff. I got electronics that aren't working like they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm. Great. Oh, good times.
New business equipment, new business going on, all kinds of stuff. Anyway. I didn't find anything really controversial like last week where, you remember the first thing we let off with the beer? How women look more yeah, they're more objectified with after men have been drinking beer.
Yeah.
I pointed that somebody out to several of my patients, their family members, who came down this week, right? And they go, are you kidding? And they go, we already know that. And they go, do you wonder how much money they spent on this study?
Right.
We already know. Right. How much money was diverted from good research that could save people's lives?
Right. That's the question.
Yeah. You can find anything like that. Right. But anyway, but I like this one here because we've talked about this before, but it's becoming more. The thing is, we see stuff, right?
Right.
And then we bring it off because I find them interesting. And then all of a sudden, they become more and more in the mainstream people doing it. Sometimes it's 5, 10 years ahead of time, we typically find something.
Mm-hmm.
And like this one, physically fit recruits for the Army are hard to find, especially in certain states. And they're all southern states, right? So what's happening is that it's affecting our readiness, the ability to fight anywhere.
Right.
And then the other thing, because we just don't have enough soldiers that could people that could do that. Plus, what's happening is, and I see it, because I see veterans in my clinic, as I see young vets who are physically unfit go into basic training, get injured, and get a medical disability that pays them for the rest of their lives.
Right.
I mean, you think of a sweet deal.
And a sweet deal, right?
The doctors won't detect because they don't do a very good thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Go into the military. Say you were injured there. You get a medical disability for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah.
It is a sweet deal. Well, if they're physically unfit, they're going to get injured, right? So. The next thing that happens is we start lowering the physical fitness standards because we can't find anybody. And then again, more injuries, the more people incapable of serving, and then the more likely to be PTSD and all that stuff.
Right.
Like that.
That's crazy. That's an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get there. Trying to get it different, aren't we, every day?
Yeah, so we just got to raise the physical fitness standards for schools.
Right.
One of the things that I kind of dreamed of doing quite a few years ago when you used to work for me is having a wellness center. And one of those things was, have a wellness program where people have to achieve certain goals. Like one of them is a physical fitness goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you give them a T-shirt or whatever that they could wear around. And then if this was a standard that went nationwide, people that could wear T-shirts or whatever. Kind
right.
Of virtue signal that they're
right.
Playing.
Right.
Yeah, I'm physically fit because I fit these standards in this wellness protocol.
Right.
I always thought that would be pretty awesome because right now, the only thing that makes people physically fit is if they go into the gym and they show off their abs. So,
right.
But that's not physical fitness. That's just abs.
Right.
An increasing number of people are going and getting calf implants and other things to enhance what they look like.
Right. Right.
I always thought we need, and we had the President's Council on Physical Fitness when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
What, do you ever know anything about that? Whatever became of it? So does it mean anything?
Apparently not. It doesn't mean anything, does it?
I mean, right?
So.
Yep.
So look at my office lady. She's been taking care of her health for the last couple of months, and she's starting to look pretty good, isn't she?
And she does her little model strut there.
I know.
Another catalog.
Yeah, well, look at me. Yeah, if I wasn't proud of her, I would have mentioned it to the whole world. Okay. It actually makes the color
looking really good because you know, especially you wear jeans and stuff. I don't think I've ever seen you in blue jeans before either. That was, I think, an answer.
I've known for 17, 18 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I went into the clinic and I have patients that I've known for 28 years. They come in every couple of 3 weeks.
Right.
For 28 years, right?
Right.
She goes, oh, my God, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that ever.
Mm-hmm.
No one ever has. Right. What can I say? I lost so much weight, I'm losing. I had to dig in my closet to find something, and I haven't found jeans that I bought, but never wore. They're on the closet, so I had to put them on. So, yeah. It's kind of funny, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm down 60 pounds.
Nice.
So, speaking of losing weight, this one says, make yourself slim. How an extra 90 minutes in bed can stop sugar craving.
That's right. Yeah, sleep more. Yeah, that makes sense. Get that. I think 6 days is longer. Generally, I'm kind of going to that. Just getting there in the first place is harder.
Well, that's part of the reason I gained a lot of my weight over the years, because I really had a difficult time sleeping. And last year, I made a really concerted effort to try to change my sleep habits. And one of the things I did for a week actually made a big difference. Not sleeping as good right now as I used to, but you know what I noticed. Remember we were talking about fasting last week?
Right.
We're talking about the 24-hour, you know, fast 18 hours or whatever, and then eat. So if you fast all day long and eat your dinner, the problem with staying up late is if you want to keep eating later.
Right.
And so you get these sugar cravings, and you want to stay up later, and that's when you're going to put on a lot of weight if you're eating later in the evening rather than in the morning. And so I found also it's easier to kind of lose some of the weight if, now that I get to bed earlier.
Right.
And then discipline yourself to just freaking not eat time.
Yeah, that's what I talked about before. Losing weight is easy to smoke because at the end of the day, it's always been a challenge.
So if you can just figure out how to discipline yourself to not eat after a certain time of day, it'd be helpful. Going to bed earlier, of course, would help a lot, too, which is what you've done. This is a nice thing.
Can't get into it.
So if you can change what you eat, that's a good thing. Or change when you eat.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things we've always talked about, too, is eating once a day. Well, you know, how is it, you know,
Because we always hear that you talk about eating breakfast, and a while back I said, I don't know if that's so true or not, because we talked about eating paleo and things like that. And if you eat paleo diet, you know, paleolithic way, most people always eat breakfast because they don't always have food there, so some have to go get it, right? So that's an interesting thought too, for me.
Yeah, I got a couple things on weight loss in here, but so this article I printed out is a little hard to read because when you print stuff out from the internet, they say sometimes they don't think quick printing, they always advertise. So it says American children are 60% more likely to die in their 20s than kids in other wealthy countries.
Really?
Yeah. It says child mortality rate. Americans' child mortality rate is more than 19 other wealthy countries, and American kids age under 20 were 57% more likely to die. An American age 15 to 19 is 82 times more likely to die from gun violence than their counterparts in other countries.
Hmm.
Infants in the U.S. are 76% more likely to die due to SID in prenatal care. 76% more likely to get SID. What is the sentence in the death center? What's it called? You know, we've always said it was like vaccines and other things.
Right.
They don't want to do it. And prenatal care, what? Are they drug-addicted moms that have babies that about not getting prenatal care, how people might.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, the higher death rate has persisted over a 50-year period, despite the country spending more on health care than other developed nations.
We said more on sick care, not health.
Yeah, that's what we do. And that's what we're talking about is that research study, doing stupid research like that, diverting money away from things that save lives.
Right. Yep.
It doesn't make any sense. Is it interesting? Yeah, it's interesting. Is it necessary? Not really.
Right.
We all know it. Beer goggles.
Right.
Beer goggles, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yes, but,
I just don't understand why we do some of this stuff like that.
Right.
About hypermortality, right? I was going to say more about our healthcare system, but I think I'll leave it. I can go off on it. I'm starting to get angry, and so I got to move on to something different. 485 scientific papers published in 2017 undermine the supposed consensus report on climate change.
The black Mr. L. The black stimulus.
Yeah. Now, you know, I mean, we try not to be too political here, but this is involved healthcare, right?
Right.
Because there are all kinds of people caring here that more people are going to die because of that, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's actually kind of an interesting thing, too. We're going to kind of see some of those.
And
how are you both?
Okay. Fine,
Ram. Okay,
you did.
Fine, because...
It's just amazing. It's all an emotional thing. People are, goes back to, did we talk last week about finding people in the
right.
And to they think to, it kind of goes down to that. People are, they're beginning to feel that their only opinion counts.
Right.
Any other opinion doesn't count anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have to base their opinion on facts. Or if they make facts, they just make stuff up and it's been discredited, they keep using it over and over and over again.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like once the scientific paper is out there, it can be totally discredited.
Mm-hmm.
It just stays out there forever. And people continue to use it for nefarious reasons.
Right. Right. I know, it's interesting. I've been on myself because of that kind of a thing. There's certain shows I've always liked to watch and I find myself watching less, I'll turn it off. I'm interested in a show I'll just say this, like Nova or Nature or whatever those PBS shows that I've always enjoyed watching because, you need some educational stuff. And that makes sense. Once you start talking about climate change, global warming, I have to just turn it off.
Yeah, I find myself the same thing because, it comes to some of the other things like evolution versus creation. They're both theories.
Right. Exactly, because we don't know.
We don't know.
I mean,
All right.
But making associations with and use the
you can combine the two.
I mean, it's easy.
Because it does.
Right.
They both exist to a certain extent.
Right.
Now, how did life begin? They can't. They don't have any clue. That's all theoretical. But does it make sense that we have an adaptability within the big game?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, we can see evidence of some minor evolutionary changes, not from a fish turning into a bird.
Right.
Right.
But, anyway, so new research finds it was a lack of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that led to climate change in ancient times.
Really? They were saying that was a big greenhouse gas. It was all carbon dioxide.
Well, one of the things that newer scientists are pushing, and I think their theories are correct, is that more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is actually good for the planet because it has a greening effect.
Right.
And we get more plant growth and more trees growing and more oxygen production from the trees and less desertification. Because, so what if Iceland, who's under ice, begins to melt a little bit, turns into plush farmland?
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to do a little bit of warmer temperatures would actually be good for us.
Yeah.
I think it would be... Right? And so it was investing further north, I think, but...
No, they're not going to talk. They're not even going to talk. They're not going to make a move
for 2 degrees, right?
Yeah. They're not enough to really move, but also enough to, we don't even know what even 1 or 2 degrees warmer, how it would change the jet stream and stuff like that. There may be some natural cooling in a little bit warmer areas, right? Along with the natural warming and stuff like that, right? So. So speaking earlier of Scott and weight loss that we started there, I've got a couple other things here. I think we mentioned this last week, but I can't remember. Says our carbs are killing you.
Yes, I think we did it.
Yeah, global study finds death rates higher among carb eaters. Scientists say we should be eating more fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did talk about
that.
Yeah. That's our friends. Yeah, I got a bunch of newer stuff, which is amazing. Scarring molecule and fat tissue. Means obesity with distressed fat. What it means is that part of the problems that the fat of obese people becomes distressed, scarred, and inflamed, which can make weight loss more difficult.
That makes sense, too.
Yeah, we wonder why it does. It's so difficult, right? But, you know, we don't know how bad inflammation is in the human body right now.
Right?
We're so inflamed as the real. One of the reasons we're doing a fish oil, trying to get people's inflammation under control, natural way, rather than taking anti-inflammatory drugs all the time. And they're having an awful effect on our body, including scarring up everywhere that it goes. Including fat tissue, which makes it difficult for it to function the way it's supposed to.
Right.
Then you have things like liposuction that tries to destroy the fat cells and scars the whole inside up and adheses them everywhere. The later require, you know, some more surgery to fix up the new adhesive.
Right.
But yeah, I got more on that too. I just got a big. We'll find it somewhere else. We talked about that last week too. I had this one from 4 or 5 times. Because we missed the radio show, right? So I kept getting stuff ready and going, did I do this one yet? Well, this is political. And I just couldn't help but print it out. It says, British Fertility Society says trans folks must be offered date scores because they deserve to be parents. Here's what they're talking about. A male who gets transitioned into a female, must be offered eggs so that he can become mother.
Okay, so where do the eggs come from? Are we
getting women of their own age to find the females?
And
he says that they're going to take it against their will because they have a right to have children.
And they have to reference all your eggs.
And
they're only come up with a certain amount, too. The amount of eggs they're going to have. Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so last year, the National Health Service was in England performed 202 tax change operations that cost $12 million.
Wow.
Yeah. The cost of harvesting change is approximately $4,000 and about $400 in the total world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So even though he's now a woman, he still doesn't have all the equipment,
or she doesn't have all the equipment, to carry a fetus. So how do you think that she has as a mother?
You know, I don't know, but
adoption.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But from last time, when they do those sex changes, they add a uterus
to the
young man.
Yeah.
So you gotta have a uterus to be able to do those things.
My uncle's been talking about. This doctor who said in clinic sees tons of patients who are being treated with gender identity because we need all of them to help find the patients and don't know what
right.
And so we are currently in a really peculiar position where we have two patients, one after the other, in the clinic. One of them was funded to have first-hand
Aren't we entitled to, isn't that a right as well?
I mean, I'm down. Hold on.
They have a right to sue.
They should have to. Well, that's just how you do it.
You have to donate one of mine to yours. You should have to. That's the thing. I don't have one. I'm going to have to get mine from someone else.
So we're going to have to go to the third world country and get an eyeball.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So,
I've read the book about that.
Is that right?
I know. So I just kind of can't help going there with what you said. It's just like the people that criticize Trump. He could never be elected and all that stuff. I'm just going to throw it in their face. Is that they were the experts, right? Saying that, no, this will never happen. They were laughing and joking. Well, he did. Does that mean they're still an expert, or are they just a perk?
Yeah.
Right?
I think they're... yeah,
they're experts.
That's right. They're experts.
They still lose. You know, if you bet your... And any business decision, if you're wrong, you lose,
right?
You know, if you go to gamble, you lose. Right? Well, they put their reputation on the line by selling their opinion, and now they're espousing other opinions, which are proven to be wrong. When are they going to lose their stuff?
I don't know, but they need to hurry up about it.
I'm not trying to get in their face, but it doesn't matter if they were from something on TV. The only reason I point out Fox is because it's so obvious right now. You can see it all over the place, right? But all the experts come on, they say this, and they try to influence the general public, and the public makes the decision. And then they're wrong. And it's like, oh, well, we'll move on to the next one. We're going to tell you what to do now. And they're wrong again.
Right.
I'm going to start a YouTube channel pretty quick, and I hope you'll help me with a little bit. Because based on the book that I turned right, wrong, I just find this with a little book in your own way convinced me that I'm going to read it from the I already got all the stuff in the file. They were wrong. And what's the consequences of them being wrong? They don't just say, my bad.
No, right?
I know. They would just do that. I mean, if you're playing sports and you make a bad play, like basketball, right? You make a bad pass, it's like, my bad. You just take responsibility for it. It's like, oh, you need to catch that.
Light itself helps us.
Well, you know, maybe why everybody loses the weight.
By numbing the weight, laser helps you lose fat.
Right.
And then that part of that wavelength is coming from the top.
Right.
Except for the laser, you concentrate it and put that wavelength on someone for a lot longer period of time, and you're avoiding the other things in there that are going to burn you and do stuff.
Right.
But so, another, yeah, so there you go. So one of the things that can help people lose weight is just, like, get out in the sun.
Right.
And that means not really exposing your skin to all the crap put on the surface of stuff.
Right.
But your skin needs to have the sun hit it.
But it looks like it's a blue light. So now maybe we should get that one moment.
Reduce the amount of time. What's a computer?
That was funny. Yeah. I think that.
It is.
So, more reasons to feed your kids fish. It helps them sleep better and nourishes their nervous system. That's the omega-3 for sure.
Yeah.
Like we say all the time. More fish.
Fish is good. Fish is not good.
If you're taking vitamins during pregnancy, reduces the risk of autism.
Really?
By 73%. It also improves the baby's overall health according to the
evidence.
And it's published in the Journal of the American Medical
Association. So here's the deal. I think a lot of sense, right? Because even if it's 73%,
I think it was a lot of sense. Because if you're not getting adequate nutrition,
which most people are in this country,
and then you have your newborn baby who's living to perfect health,
she's
a perfect health,
but
hasn't had
great nutrition
his entire life, and you're living in a lot of chemicals.
So is it the nutrition?
Your body cannot function correctly if it doesn't have what it needs.
So
let's say you have a healthy body. Everything is perfect. Let's take a vaccine in it. It's likely to be able to overcome some of the negative effects of that vaccine. You know, we're finding the vaccines are dangerous. But it makes sense, right? So if you're deficient, your body can't function as it's supposed to. How can it help take care of itself as a result of my thoughts?
Right.
It just can't. So it just makes sense. Now, here's the other. So this is published in the Journal of American Medical Association of Psychiatry. So do you think it's valid for your doctor to say that those vitamins you're taking to just make it sense of hearing?
No, I think that they should be re-educated.
The research has found that babies born in mothers with multivitamins and folic acid during or before pregnancy were up to 70% less likely to develop autism. Likewise, children born in mothers with multivitamins up to 2 years before pregnancy have a 61% reduced risk of developing the condition.
Well, how come it is almost every OBGYN says to new pregnant mom, are all of them completely wrong? You know, the other ones just say, nah, it's just expensive yours. Are they, you know, right? So,
Okay, so listen to this. Wrong.
Eggs. Our brain food.
Yes,
study shows eggs improve infant brain development.
Mm-hmm.
What about the cholesterol meetings? What? So God, he's cooking the floor.
I know.
It turns out eggs aren't just good for you. It can also be good for babies, too. According to researchers from the Brown School at Washington University in St. Louis, they're missing you. It is covered in the system. Eggs to newborn children during the 6 months resulted in higher blood concentrations of choline and DHA, which is one of the fissure things that are bringing them up. So I got another one on choline.
Let me see if I can find that in a minute. So, eggs. We were told, remember,
don't eat eggs. Don't eat eggs. You only have egg white. Yeah. Oh, this is terrible. I would determine whether food gets worse or, you know, try to figure out what food we could eat.
So listen to this. A student has discovered that feeding cows microalgae increases the omega-3 in sheep.
Okay. Good.
Not
done with the
I know, but, you know, it is an interesting thing that it helps confirm that what you feed is You feed the food that you eat.
Right.
That's the fact one you get.
Right.
So we always say feed the grains to cows, the fat run off the change of their fat content, make up fat, right? And so now if we start feeding cows a little bit differently, we can produce a little bit different outcome in them. And that maybe the cheese, for those that like to eat cheese, and that don't eat much fish,
right,
can have a newer source of omega-3, just like the ones you found in eggs, and then DHA. And then also some EPA, DHA from the cheese they might be able to get if it's produced that way. Yeah.
I know.
But you know what I mean. We got some newer options, and also more of the awareness that what we feed them makes a difference for us.
Yes.
You know, before it's like, well, let's feed them cheap crap.
Yeah.
All I wanted to cut.
This diagnosis means this, and this. That's completely different. But
Here's one. What I wanted to mention is that eating more food with choline during pregnancy can boost baby's brain. Again, that goes back to that. This is a different study and a different thing. But it basically goes back to choline, which is found in egg yolks, lean red meat, fish, poultry, legumes, nuts, and cruciferous vegetables. Helps the brain to bring the bone. Yeah, I know, but they can do a lot of other stuff. Egg yolks, right? And then there's some not eating egg yolks.
I never listened to it either.
I have so many interesting ones this morning. I almost can't even get to them. I'm going nuts. So a working group proposes new regulations for school transfer.
So now it's becoming so common of stool cancer,
which is a stool transplant or fecal transplant. They're now changing the wording so it's a little bit more socially accepted.
Now the President Trump came up with a new word. I guess maybe we can use it again now, right? Now we got F transfer or F transplant.
That's right.
Stool transplant, yeah.
Well, I've been F transfer.
So what they're doing is they're coming up with really good instances of safety and everything else like that, which is interesting.
Right.
That's the next thing. To make sure that people don't have anything wrong with them when they do it. Okay. It's still so funny to me that when we returned it, it was so funny and important. Not that we thought it was stupid anymore. We thought it was awesome. But it's just like, wow, this is so weird.
Yeah.
Eat, crap, and die. It's like, no, eat, crap, and live, basically.
Yep.
So here's what I'm trying to stop this morning, too, because Facebook has a new laser that we're going through. It says, promising anti-obesity drugs bring fat without producing. Okay, so you can drink fat with a laser light. It's perfectly safe food and drug administration to do this. So why do you want to go to a drug with alcohol that has all these side effects that makes you go to 10 or 15 to fight it?
And they're going out to some hops like that, so it'll be like that. So.
Okay, so now here we go. This is interesting for you and I as chiropractors, right? Because we saw these devices on the shelf for a long time and moved at the bottom because the science was a little bit poor on it at the time. So full body vibration exercises are found to increase circulation, providing us with similar physical activity.
Deadline for a lot of research and the
call. Great. Okay, to reach these useful findings, we fix the study for the whole body vibration goes back months over the course of 12 weeks and some mice do 20 minutes of whole body vibration per day. Others did 45 minutes on a treadmill each day. The third group was sedentary. They were also divided into groups depending on whether they were healthy, diabetic, or obese. The research discovered that the reaction could bring about the same effects as exercise to the bones and muscles. Healthy mice did not gain any significant benefits from vibration. And the diabetic and obese ones get the same metabolic benefits from using the treadmill as they did from the vibration. Healthy mice did not gain any significant benefits from vibration.
Okay.
But the diabetic and obese ones did.
The part of what we're doing with that new laser is we're going to add vibration therapy. Or massage therapy to enhance lymphatic drainage, but actually more than just lymphatic drainage. It looks like it'll do more than that because it has similar effects on metabolism stuff,
right?
As exercise does. So we're gonna have, I'm gonna have to put on a full body vibration table to put on that stand up before getting laser therapy. Just gonna put that aside. Something I need to do that's pretty significant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, again, here's another good one. I mean, I just found so many this morning, I'm going nuts. Well, my head was spinning and so full of stuff, right? Scientists uncover why sauna bathing is good for your health. I finally got the door of my sauna fixed right, and I went in there this weekend, and man, the sweat was just pouring off me. The door was warped because I had a nosy neighbor when I first built it a few years ago, because I live on the side of the hill. And so sometimes the ground shifts to me to my house. I got a bedroom door that doesn't close right because the ship's being hurt. And it kind of wouldn't allow my door to close because he came over and snooped and looked at it, left the door open. And by the time I discovered it, a week or two later, it had already warped. So I had someone come out to fix it, so it's working right. But the scientists in Finland have shown that solder baiting is associated with a variety of health benefits. Using an experimental setting at this time, the research group now investigated the physiological mechanisms through which the heat exposure of sauna may influence a person's health. The latest study with 100 test subjects shows that taking a sauna bath for 30 minutes reduces blood pressure and increases vascular compliance, while also increasing heart rate similarly to medium-intensity exercise.
Nice.
So getting go vibrate yourself and get a sauna, it's like getting some exercise. So if you can't go exercise, do these things.
Yeah, makes sense. It's good.
Maybe the vibration.
Not so much the old theory of cardiovascular. Maybe it's the joint movement stimulus of the brain from neurological.
I'm not
sure why. If you get the same muscle input from the vibration, you can move on exercise. And that might be the key.
That's what I thought. It's all about appropriate session.
That's what we've been doing. Coming to that conclusion that it's all about appropriate session. So, what else do I got? I mean, I got a bunch of stuff here. I'm trying to figure out which one I want to do. There's the one that we were talking about earlier. I finally found it. It says growing opioid epidemic is forcing more children into foster care.
So
I have a sister that worked in sort of a treatment center in Eugene, and she was over this weekend and she was talking about the opioid epidemic and how bad it is. I have another sister who is a male friend who works DEA or something like that. And so she's aware from his perspective of we got an epidemic that's bigger than what people think. Because the scientists keep coming up with a number that it's like increasing almost every day how many people die per day from the opioid epidemic. I thought I saw a number there that said they're in the thousands, tens of thousands a year of people dying from opioid stuff. And so they asked their patients at this treatment center, where they're hanging off, because it's kind of more of a wellness space. The only thing they really don't have, but as I'm talking to her about what they do, is any chiropractic care. And she says, yeah, she wants them to have it too, but that they're not ready. And what I think is we just don't have a strong enough chiropractic community to go out there and push what all we're beneficial for. And if we don't begin to get that out there, educating not just the public, but the treatment centers and everything else with the importance of surgery centers that are doing back surgery and stuff, and becoming incorporated into a team that takes care of people, like if people get referred by their medical doctor because they got back pain, they need to go to a surgery center, and that surgery center needs pre-approval, but the person needs proper care for their back before, and that has to have been proven to fail. And they fail to have the chiropractic team. It's going to fail because it's not part of the guidelines for treating back pain. You know what I mean, right? Because we're not out there promoting ourselves like that. We're actually promoting our own little business.
Right.
We're not promoting chiropractic. When we try to promote chiropractic, we kind of get into the quackery of chiropractic.
Right.
That we're losing out big time on what we could do. Just like my sister chewed me out big time about the whole orthotic thing. So you were right on top of this a long time ago. You could have had that whole industry wrapped up in the whole area. Well, you were with that company for a while, weren't you? But chiropractors are pretty reluctant, weren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they were. I was talking to a lot of
people.
I used the company first, and then I worked for the company.
Now, this is pretty awesome.
I sold a few of the people in the company and only sold one particular Gates game, one of the Gates games. So
And I find the gate stamp incredibly useful. In fact, part of my, I got a marketing person coming into my business now. And once she gets helping me with the laser, I think I'm going to hire her to help me promote the neurosonic stuff, just kind of the same sort of business on the side. Is that, okay, so let me tell our listeners kind of the dream, and if they can call me up and say, I want to be part of it, or I want to associate it with it, because you want to be part of it too, because you like it. But the dream is just sort of a large wellness center. Basically a real wellness center, not just the name one, that only really just does, oh, I'm an addict, we treat them, right? You know what I mean? They all call themselves wellness because the big buzzword. And sometimes you use the word wellness because you attract a different type of clientele, like they have more money to pay cash and more insurance. But it's really not wellness. And so people have a gross misunderstanding of different professions and what they do. I mean, they've been educated since a child. When I was becoming the first heard of chiropractic when I was young, I don't know how I came to the conclusion, but I thought they took bones out of your body. I remember that thinking that in high school. I had no idea. You know what I mean? And so, when you don't know, you fill in the blank.
Right.
You make crap up and fill it in. And so, I always thought a wellness center, people can understand wellness. And then underneath the wellness center, have multiple different things you can do. One is like foot health, right? So, like me, arch supports and stuff. But it needs kind of a separate business and a separate entrance and a little separate facility because the people that call up for that are going to go, hey, my feet hurt, I got this, and then go in there, and they go, well, what is this like?
Right. Right.
It'll take care of feet, but if you're interested in your overall health, go over there.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they come to wellness, you go, okay, this is your cause of great gait, I can see how you feet and see if that's something you need to be, you know, sort of screening,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you have things that, and then like the part of it is a facility where you teach people how to cook, because how many people know how to cook, don't you?
Not many.
most studies these days. You can only study one thing.
Right.
When you start getting multiple things, it gets confusing. But that's what they did here. Fish oil and vitamin D for 6 weeks improved biomarkers of oxidative stress and inflammation, as well improves pregnancy outcomes in patients with gestational diabetes.
Nice.
So now, you think, let's see what they did. In this 720 patients with gestational diabetes divided into four groups. You see either fish oil containing 180 milligrams of EPA or 120 milligrams of DHA, which is really low for what I do, twice daily. No, it's a little bit higher. And vitamin D placebo, 50,000 units of vitamin D every 2 weeks, and fish oil placebo, or
different combinations thereof. I was kind of looking to see what was the best, so that's not important. We just know it works. I just look for deficiency and get them up to what we think is optimal, and everybody, it doesn't matter what's wrong with them, right?
All right.
But so how many diabetics or pregnant do you see on fish oil and vitamin D?
Only the ones that we get.
Right.
So high doses of vitamin D rapidly reduces arterial stiffness in overweight, obese, vitamin deficient African Americans. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. Or you can just say, gee,
there's a vitamin D. She's doing right. It says, in just 4 months, high doses of vitamin D reduce arterial stiffness in young, overweight, or obese, vitamin deficient, but otherwise still healthy African Americans.
Wow.
Isn't that funny? It's still healthy if you're vitamin deficient, and obese, or overweight.
Right.
So they took 4,000 units a day, which we get people about 5,000 a day. Usually what we get to get them up there. So,
yeah, reduces arterial stiffness. And you know, black people have a propensity to higher blood pressure,
right,
than white people.
Right.
So. Yeah, a lot of good stuff today, wasn't it? That's where it's funny. We kind of got a little political, which is kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know. It'll probably turn a few people off.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, you know, that's just the way it's just
that
thing.
Well,
here's what I, okay, so here's what my roommate taught me. It was really awesome.
Interesting opinion. Mm-hmm.
Hey. Looks pretty good. So she said something the other day.
I disagreed with her. It's interesting. Three or four. Oh, my God.
Your eyes just went, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm a nerd sometimes, but no, I fully
give her credit for teaching me something that's a little bit more than just an opinion. It's like a little bit more wording behind it. I just found that really refreshing, and a good way to look at it is that it's an interesting opinion. Tell me more.
Right. We got to remember that.
Yeah, we do.
Those things are just an opinion. And so, and I try to utilize this stuff. Not because I want someone to believe my political beliefs. Certainly, we mentioned Donald Trump today, but only because he's a current president. When Barack Obama was in office, we mentioned him. When Bush was in office, they mentioned him. We only do it because people are aware of what's going on, generally speaking. And some of us are opinion, but I'm trying to use that to point out sometimes the absurdity of our opinions.
Right.
And how that these things just bleed into the healthcare for no good reason and don't make us healthier.
Right.
Yep. It's kind of funny, isn't it?
Very.
So anyway, a lot of good stuff, Dr. G.
Yes, yeah, sir. Lots of good stuff.
I can't wait to start a YouTube channel doing similar stuff that we're doing here, right?
Should be fun.
Yeah, because I have all the stuff on coffee sitting right there ready to go. So anyway, so I guess that concludes today's show. So until next time, here's to your health.